نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. ربنا زدنا علما. سورة الرعد. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألف لام ميم را. تلك آيات الكتاب. والذي أنزل إليك من ربك الحق ولكن أكثر الناس لا يؤمنون. الله الذي رفع السماوات بغير عمد ترونها ثم استوى على العرش وسخر الشمس والقمر كل يجري لأجل مسمى يدبر الأمر يفصل الآيات لعلكم بلقاء ربكم توقنون. ألف لام ميم را. These are the verses of the book, and that which has been revealed to you from your Lord is the truth. But most men do not believe. Allah is He who raised the heavens without any pillars that you can see. Then He rose above the throne. He has subjected the sun and the moon, each running for a term appointed. He manages and regulates all affairs. He explains the signs in detail that you may believe with certainty in the meeting with your Lord. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts this surah by Huruf al-Muqatta'at. As has been mentioned earlier, although there have been different theories advanced as to the true meaning of these letters, some say that they represent Allah's different names, and people have different theories. The truth of the matter is that we do not know, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not tell us. So right in the beginning of this surah, Allah reminds us, مَا أُوتِيتُم مِّنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. As Allah says elsewhere in the Quran, you have been given but little of knowledge. Tilka ayatul kitab, these are the verses of al-kitab. Allah again and again repeats this ayat. Why? To inculcate reverence in our hearts for this Quran. This Quran that we treat as magic words, as a talisman. Something to read if I'm going to have a child. Something to read if I'm having financial problems. Something to read if someone's died. And that's it. Allah says, Tilka ayatul kitab. These are the verses of al-kitab, written by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That which has been revealed to you, mir rabbika, from your Lord. Now whenever Allah says rabbika, it's like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking directly to each one of us. That this book has been sent for us, for all of us, individually, as a gift of great love. And Allah says, al-haq. This is the only book, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. The only book of which it can be said, there is no doubt in it. Why does Allah keep on stressing the truth of the Quran? Before we can accept something, before we can utilize something, we need to be sure that it is correct. For instance, there's a glass of water lying before you, and you're not sure whether that glass of water has been boiled or not. Now, even if you drink that water, in your heart, there will be that doubt. And you won't be able to enjoy that drink because you'll be wondering, I wonder whether it was boiled or not. I wonder what if this water makes me sick. So again and again Allah repeats that you need to have yaqeen that everything, every letter in this book is the truth, is for our own good. Only then will we be able to benefit it. Otherwise, why are Muslims nowadays not acting upon the Quran? We all know the Quran is from Allah. Why is it that we've selected portions of the Quran to obey and portions to disobey? The fact of the matter is, in our heart of hearts, we don't have yaqeen. We don't truly believe that if we were to follow this Quran, it would enhance our life in this world and the next. And that's the only reason, as Allah tells us in the Quran, أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْدِ الْكِتَابِ. Do you believe in part of the book? وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْدِ. Do you reject part of the book? In other words, when we select portions of the Quran to act upon, portions which suit our convenience, portions which we find easy to obey, and we discard or we ignore those portions of the Quran which we find difficult to obey, this is what we're doing in fact, rejecting part of the book and accepting part of it. Allah says, Al-Haqqu min Rabbik. All of it is the truth. You can't just select portions, all of this book is the truth from your Lord. But what is the sad reality? أكثر الناس لا يؤمنون. Most people just don't have iman. It is Allah who raised the heavens without any pillars that you can see. Then He rose above the throne. He has subjected the sun and the moon, each running for a term appointed. يُفَصِّلُ الْآيَاتِ. He explains the signs in detail. What is the link between ayat 1 and 2? One minute Allah speaking of the Quran, the next minute Allah speaking of the glories of His universe. See, Allah is reminding us that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can create such a magnificent universe, a universe that is running with all its complexities in such perfect harmony and discipline, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone could have come up with a book like this Quran. If Allah has created benefits for our worldly life, Allah alone could have devised benefits for our spiritual life. He explains the signs in detail. لَعَلَّكُمْ بِلِقَاءِ رَبِّكُمْ تُوقِنُونَ. In order that you get yaqeen. People don't understand the need to study the Quran in detail. They say, oh, we've heard the Quran, we know what's in it. Why do we need to study the Quran in detail? Why do we need to analyze each word of the Quran so we get this yaqeen? Look at the words of the ayat. He explains the signs in detail that you may believe with certainty in the meeting with your Lord. Only in-depth analysis of this book will grant us that yaqeen. And it is Allah who spread out the earth and placed therein firm mountains and rivers and of every kind of fruits. He made two pairs. He brings the night as a cover over the day. This universe of contrast, darkness and light, night and day, different kinds of pairs. Indeed, in all these things are signs. لِقَوْمِ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. For a people who reflect. In other words, Islam is not simply that we read the Quran day in, day out and don't reflect upon the glories of the universe. What did Allah tell us in Surah Ali Imran? إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. Indeed, in the creation of the heavens and the earth and in the alternation of night and day are signs for a people of depth. Who are they? الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قَيَامًا وَقَعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ. Those who remember Allah standing and sitting and lying upon their sides. And then they call out, رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا. O our Lord, O our Creator, You have not created this in vain. When the mu'min studies the universe, when he sees how nothing is wasting its time, he becomes acutely aware of the precious moments in his life. He becomes acutely conscious of the time that he has wasted. So he calls out, Subhanaka faqina adhab an-nar. Glory be to You, Allah. Save us from the torment of the fire. Forgive us for all those moments we wasted on other things. Allah says there are signs for a people who reflect. Not just superficial glances or superficial reading of the Quran and we think we fulfilled our duty. No, we need to reflect upon this Quran. And in the earth are neighboring tracts and gardens of vines and green crops and date palms growing into two or three from a single stem root or otherwise watered with the same water. Yet some of them we make more excellent than others to eat. إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَعْقِلُونَ. Indeed in these things are signs for people who use their intellect. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, observe the beauty of the universe that He has created. All these crops being watered with the same water, yet some of them are more excellent than others to eat. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation. And Allah tells us, only people who use their intellect can understand. As we can see, Islam is the name of logic, of using your intellect, and using your intellect to get closer to your Creator. That is Islam. And that's why in the golden days of Islam, the early Muslims were the ones who were pioneers of science. They were pioneers of medicine because they were people, yaqilun, who used their intellect. وَإِنْ تَعْجَبْ فَعَجَبٌ قَوْلُهُمْ. And if you wonder, then wondrous is their saying, when we are dust, shall we then indeed be raised in new creation? People who doubt the day of judgment, people who say, well, who's ever seen the day of judgment? Who's ever seen resurrection? How can that be? If someone's died in a bomb blast, then how's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala going to resurrect that person? Allah says, they are those who disbelieved in their Lord. They are those who will have iron chains tying their hands to their necks. They are those who are the dwellers of the fire. Hum fiha khalidun. They will live therein forever. People who mock the day of judgment, who mock the concept of resurrection, who mock the concept of accountability, Allah says they will live in the fire forever. They ask you to hasten the evil before the good. Muslims were always calling out to the Prophet, alright, so when is this famous day of judgment going to come? And nowadays also we hear people making foolish statements like, well, if Allah is going to punish the sinners, why is it that the sinners are prospering? And if I'm disobeying Allah, if I'm doing something wrong by not praying, how come things are going so smoothly for me? Why doesn't Allah punish me then? Allah says, look at these people. They ask you to hasten the evil before the good, while exemplary punishments have indeed occurred before them. But indeed your Lord is full of forgiveness for mankind in spite of their wrongdoing. Can we even count the number of times we disobey Allah in a day? We disobey Allah, we utter that white lie, we utter that gossipy statement, we look at things which we're not supposed to be looking at, we listen to things we're not supposed to be listening at, and we forget the next minute. Allah says, your Lord is full of forgiveness for mankind. Again and again He gives us chances to return to Him. In spite of their wrongdoing, وَإِنَّ رَبَّكَ لَشَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ. And indeed your Lord is also severe in punishment. This is the balanced vision of Islam. Not that we sit back relying upon Allah's love and do what we like to anger Him. Oh, Allah is full of love, Allah is going to forgive me. And also not that we spend our lives in fear and just think of Allah as this wrathful God. Remember when Allah told us, أَنَا عِنْدَ ظَنِّ عَبْدِي بِي. I am according to my slave's concept of me. We find that the mu'min wavers between fear of Allah's anger and hope for Allah's mercy. And that is the balanced vision of Islam. The disbelievers say, why is not a sign sent down to him from his Lord? إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ مُنذِرٌ. You are only a warner. You're not someone who's supposed to show people cheap miracles. You are only a warner, and for every people there is a guide. Allah knows what every female bears, and by how much the wombs fall short or exceed. وَكُلُّ شَيْءٍ عِنْدَهُ بِمِقْدَارٍ. Everything with him is in due proportion. All know of the unseen and the seen, the most great, the most high. Even we, with our instruments that we've invented nowadays, we've invented the ultrasound. But no doctor spends the 9 months that a woman spends in pregnancy the whole time, you know, that he's examining the child. It's just on for a few minutes, he gets to see what the baby's position is like. Allah says, Allah knows what every female bears. هُوَ الظَّاهِرُ وَالْبَاطِنُ. He is the obvious and the hidden. His vision is perceiving that unborn child all the time. Why is it that there are still children who are born dead and the doctors say there was no reason for this child to have died? Because this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation. إِنَّا نَحْنُ نُحْيِي وَنُمِيتُ. It is Allah who gives life, Allah who causes death. Modern 20th century man has not been able to achieve this, despite all his technological advancements. All know of the unseen and the seen, the most great, the most high. It is the same to him, whether any of you conceal his speech or declare it openly, whether he be hid by night or goes forth freely by day. For him there are angels in succession, before and behind him. They guard him by the command of Allah. We learn from a hadith that at Fajr time and Asr time, the angels are changed. And then the angels who have been with us return to Allah and they are replaced by a different contingent of angels. Now when the angels who have been with us return to Allah at Fajr time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks them, in what condition did you leave my slave? Now we can think about what it is that we are doing at Fajr time. Are we remembering Allah in prayer? Or are we busy sleeping thinking, oh, I'll read qaza when I wake up later on? And at Asr time, again the angels are changed. And when they return to Allah and Allah asks them, which is not to say Allah doesn't know, He does know, but He asks them, in what condition did you leave my slaves? And we can think about what we are doing at Asr time. Indeed, Allah will not change the condition of a people as long as they do not change their state themselves. Muslims nowadays complain, where is Allah? Why doesn't Allah care? Look at the Muslims suffering all over the world. Allah says, I'm not going to change your condition until you change yourself. We have to take that first step. But when Allah wills a people's punishment, there can be no turning back of it, and they will find beside Him no protector. هُوَ الَّذِي يُرِيكُمُ الْبَرْقَ خَوْفًا وَطَمَعًا. It is Allah who shows you the lightning as a fear and as a hope, and it is He who originates the clouds that are heavy with water. We should read this ayat upon seeing lightning. And there's another dua which the Prophet ﷺ taught us. Allahumma la taqtulna bi ghadabik, O Allah, do not kill us by your anger. Wa la tuhlikna bi adhabik, and do not punish us or do not destroy us by your punishment. Wa afina, and grant us health and well-being. Really, this ayat is one that inculcates reverence in our hearts when we see acts like lightning or we hear the thunderbolts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't just be so engrossed in your superficial life that you forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَيُصَبِّحُ الرَّعْدُ بِحَمْدِهِ The thunder glorifies Allah. So do the angels because of His awe. He sends the thunderbolts and therewith He strikes whom He wills. Still they dispute about Allah? Allah tells us elsewhere in the Quran, إِن مِّن شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُصَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِهِ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَفْقَحُونَ تَصْبِيحَهُمْ Everything is glorifying Allah, but you do not understand their praise. It's just man. See, elsewhere in the Quran, Allah tells us that everything in creation is bowing down before Allah. And Allah says, and many of mankind. In other words, it's only man who has the temerity to disobey Allah, to still be arguing about Allah, despite the proofs he sees before his eyes of Allah's power, of Allah's immense glory. Man is the only being who has the temerity and the arrogance to stand up and say, well, I don't think Allah is going to ask me about something like prayers. Still they dispute about Allah? وَهُوَ شَدِيدُ الْمِحَالِ And He is mighty in strength and severe in punishment. لَهُ دَعْوَةُ الْحَقِّ For Allah alone is the word of truth. And those whom they call to answer them no more than one who stretches forth his hand for water to reach his mouth, but it does not reach him. وَمَا دُعَاءُ الْكَافِرِينَ إِلَّا فِي ضَلَالٍ The dua of the disbelievers is nothing but an error. This is a beautiful ayat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us that Allah alone is the one who answers our duas. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ You alone do we worship and you alone do we ask for help. Now what about people who say, well, you know, we don't pray to them, but we're asking them to have our duas accepted by Allah. As elsewhere in the Quran, Allah tells us these people say, مَا نَعْبُدُهُمْ إِلَّا لِيُقَرِّبُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ زُلْفَى We're not worshipping them. We want them to bring us closer to Allah. We're using them as a wasila. People who go to mazars or who go to peers or buzurgs or pray to Hazrat Ali. So no, we're not praying to them. We're simply asking them to have our du'as accepted by Allah. Now listen to what Allah says. وَالَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِهِ All those beings, whether angels or jinns or prophets or buzurgs or peers or scholars, dead or alive. وَالَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِهِ Everyone else other than Allah comes in this. لَا يَسْتَجِيبُونَ لَهُمْ بِشَيْءٍ Do not answer them at all. إِلَّا كَبَاسِطِ كَفَّيْهِ إِلَى الْمَاءِ Except like one who stretches forth his hand. Now if there's water falling down and I have my hands outstretched like this, how much water am I going to hold? Nothing at all. It's all going to trickle through my fingers because my fingers are open. If I want to hold the water, I'll have to cup my hands together. But if I have my hands stretched like this, what water am I going to retain? Allah says, when you call to anyone other than Allah, this is what you're doing. You think you're getting something, but in reality you're getting nothing. We can understand it by a simple everyday example. I write a letter to my friend. I ask my friend to help me out. And then I post the letter, but to the wrong address. Or I send the letter, and I don't put the stamp on it. I don't bother to buy the stamp. Or I forget to post the letter altogether. Now I've written the letter, I have asked my friend for help, but since my friend never received the letter, how is she going to help me? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can hear every word we utter, but if we're calling to someone other than Allah, why should He respond? And sometimes Allah responds to test us. Like someone I knew once came up and said, you know, we weren't having a child, and then we went to the mazar and we prayed, and the very next day my wife conceived. And you start thinking, yes, maybe that's a sign from Allah. Actually, it's Allah's testing our iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us, لَهُ دَعْوَةُ الْحَقِّ Allah alone answers your du'as. And Allah is simply testing our iman. Those whom they invoke answer them no more than one who stretches forth his hand for water to reach his mouth, but it does not reach him. What would we say if we saw someone standing like this trying to catch water? We'd say, are you mad? Don't you even know how to catch water in your hands? Allah says, وَمَا دُعَاءُ الْكَافِرِينَ إِلَّا فِي ضَلَالٍ. The dua of the disbelievers is nothing but an error. Now we need to understand this word dalal here. It's a very crucial word. Dalal is when you're aiming an arrow at the wrong target. When you're sending off arrows blindly, without aiming at the target, what's going to happen? The target is in front of me and I'm sending my arrow behind me. Is the arrow going to reach the target? Never. Allah reminds us, to Allah falls in prostration, whoever is in the heavens and the earth, willingly or unwillingly. Now let's analyze our own prayers. When we pray, is it with joy? Is it with love? As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, جُعِلَتْ قُرَّةُ أَيْنِي فِي الصَّلَاةِ. My heart's ease has been made in salah. Salat is my heart's delight. Is there any amongst us who could make such a claim? That we were to approach salat with joy, with love? What is salat? Salat is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calling us with love, with tenderness. Like a mother calls her child when he comes home tired from school, come here, let me wash you, let me sit you in my lap, tell me what you did today. That is Allah calling us in salat 5 times a day. Allah tells us to get up, purify ourselves, to ease that fatigue we are feeling in body and spirit. Allah says, willingly or unwillingly. Now we can all think for ourselves. And so do their shadows in the mornings and in the afternoons. Pull, ask these people, مَرَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Who is the Lord of the heavens and the earth? Say, it is Allah. Say, have you then taken for worship protectors other than Allah? Who can neither benefit you nor harm themselves? Say, هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الْأَعْمَى وَالْبَصِيرِ. Is the blind equal to the one who sees? If there's a blind man standing before you and one who can see, you won't ask the blind man to describe the landscape. Even if the blind man has made a study of the topography of the landscape, you won't ask him to describe it. You'll ask the one who can see. Allah says, one who calls to Allah and one who calls to others than Allah, the difference is this difference between that of sight and blindness. أَمْ هَلْ تَسْتَوِي الظُّلُمَاتُ وَالنُّورِ. Or is darkness equal to light? People who call to others than Allah, whether they are peers or they are angels or they are jinns, spend their lives in confusion and uncertainty, seeking a multitude of gods and pleasing none. Can darkness be equal to light? Remember the ayat in Surah Baqarah? Allahu waliyu alladhina amanu. Allah is the friend of those who believe. يُخْرَجُهُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ. He brings them from darknesses into light. La ilaha illallah gives us calmness and strength. And shirk means chaos, confusion and fear. وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَوْلِيَاؤُهُمُ الطَّاغُوتُ. يُخْرِجُونَهُم مِّنَ النُّورِ إِلَى الظُّلُمَاتِ. Those who disbelieve, those who disobey Allah, their friends are taghut. Who are taghut? All those people or beings who stop us from obeying Allah. And our own nafs can be taghut as well, when I'm following my own desires rather than following Allah's book. يُخْرِجُونَهُم مِّنَ النُّورِ إِلَى الظُّلُمَاتِ. They bring them out from light into darknesses. Now we can think for ourselves, what do we want for ourselves? Light or darkness? The choice is ours. Or do they assign to Allah partners who created the like of His creation? Has anyone ever created another human being? Even for cloning they need a human cell. They can't do it on their own. So that the creation seemed alike to them. قُلِ اللَّهُ خَالِقُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ الْوَاحِدُ الْقَهَّارِ. Say, Allah is the creator of all things, and He is the One, the Supreme. Look at the beauty of the words Allah uses in the Quran. Why doesn't Allah say Al-Ghafoor Rahim over here? That's our favorite title for Allah. Oh, Allah won't ask you about this. Allah is Ghafoor Rahim. What is Allah telling us here? Al-Wahidul Qahhar, the One. In other words, Malik Yawmiddin, Master of the Day of Judgment. No one else to save us that day. Al-Qahhar, the Supreme, with the power to punish us. Now Allah gives us an example. After explaining the truth, أنزل من السماء ماء فسالت أودية بقدرها فاحتمل السيل زبدا رابيا ومما يوقدون عليه في النار ابتغاء حلية أو متاع زبد مثله كذلك يضرب الله الحق والباطل فأما الزبد فيذهب جفاء وأما ما ينفع الناس فيمكث في الأرض كذلك يضرب الله الأمثال. Please highlight this example. It's an awesome example. Allah sends down water from the sky and the valleys flow according to their measure. But the flood bears away the foam that mounts up to the surface and also from that ore which they heat in the fire in order to make ornaments or utensils rises a foam like unto it. Thus does Allah show forth truth and falsehood. Then as for the foam it passes away as scum upon the banks while that which is for the good of mankind remains in the earth. Thus Allah sets forth parables. Now we find in this example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah sends down rain from the sky. What is this rain? Elsewhere we learn that this rain is the rain of divine guidance. This rain is the rain of knowledge. And the valleys flow according to their measure. In other words, rain falls everywhere, but different parts of land absorb the rain according to their different capacity. And the flood bears away the foam that mounts up to the surface. Now as the water falls on the ground, and as the water level rises, there's an increasing level of foam. Now let's understand this example. We can understand it from a hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ said, "The example of guidance and knowledge with which Allah has sent me is like abundant rain." So this rain falling on the earth is the knowledge of the Quran and the Sunnah, some of which was fertile soil that absorbed rainwater and brought forth vegetation and grass in abundance. Now imagine this rain falling upon fertile land. Now what happens is that the fertile land absorbs the water and it irrigates crops and vegetation. In other words, it benefits itself and it benefits people. Another portion of it was hard and held the rainwater. And Allah benefited the people with it and they utilized it for drinking. Now we come to the second land. The second example of land is that land which is hard. It's not benefiting the water. It's not absorbing the water itself. But what happens is it's retaining the water so other people are using that water. And a portion of it was barren, which could neither hold the water nor bring forth vegetation. The third portion of land neither benefiting itself nor others. The first is the example of the person who comprehends Allah's religion, who studies Islam, who studies the Quran, who studies the Sunnah, and gets benefit from the knowledge which Allah has revealed through me. In other words, the first land, the fertile land which absorbed the water and benefited people, is that person who's acting upon it, benefiting himself and teaching others as well. The second example is one who taught others but did not act upon it. He's teaching others the Quran, he's teaching others the Sunnah, but he's not bothering to act upon it himself. So what is his example like? That land which is hard, it's not benefited itself, but at least someone is benefiting from it. And the third is that of a person who does not care for it, who's not interested in the Quran. Oh, I'm not ready to hear the Quran. No, no, I'll do this, but later on, I don't have time right now. Who does not care for it and does not take Allah's guidance revealed through me. He is like that barren land. Now let's all of us analyze ourselves. We've all received the Quran. We all have a copy of the Quran in our house. We all sometimes have hadith books in our house. How many of us have absorbed this teaching ourselves and are actually conveying it? That's the best portion of land. And on the second stage, if we're not acting upon it, at least are we conveying it to others, benefiting someone? Or are we, God forbid, the third example, neither are we interested in studying it, and nor do we care about conveying it to others. We can all analyze ourselves. Now Allah says, after this rain has fallen, and different people have absorbed it according to their different capacities, what happens is, as the water level rises, so does the level of foam. Now what is foam? Foam here is all the obstacles, all the objections that we meet with when we set out in this path of learning Allah's deen. What do people tell us? You're too young for this. What are you doing wasting your time on this? It's not going to help you in your career. Or alternatively, if you're married, what about your children? Your children come first. Your husband comes first. Your family comes first. And on and on and on. And the only thing which we ignore is Allah's book. Is that what we think of Allah? Is that how much we value Him? That we've left Him for our old age? When we've got nothing more interesting to do? Oh, then I'll study Islam. مَا قَدَرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِهِ They did not value Allah as was His right. Allah who is Malikul Muluk, who has given us everything. And we say, oh, I'm too young to learn about Islam. Oh, my job doesn't leave me time to learn about Islam. My children don't give me time to learn about Islam. Allah says, this is all form. In other words, what is the reality of form? It's nothing. You put your hand in it and nothing comes out. So all the objections, all the obstacles which people try and put in your path, all the taunts that you have to hear, all the criticism that you have to hear, it's nothing. It's insubstantial. It has no reality. And Allah gives us another example. Also, from that ore which they heat in the fire, in order to make ornaments or utensils, rises a foam like unto it. In other words, when gold is being purified, it has to pass through stages. It has to pass through primary and secondary stages, whereby the gold is melted and purified from the base elements. Allah is reminding us that when we set out in this path, we will face obstacles, we will face trials, but if we can remain steadfast, then we are actually being purified from the baser elements within us, from the elements of hypocrisy, of doubt, of arrogance. Allah purifies us by means of all these trials. Thus does Allah show forth truth and falsehood. As Amina Asselmi said, when someone asked her, how do you think of yourselves before Islam and after Islam? Now this woman went through trials like we can't even imagine. Lost her husband, lost her children, lost her job, lost everything. She has cancer right now. And what did she say? She said, before Islam I was like a pretty little jeweled cup, a beautiful goblet, but the goblet was empty. And now the cup is old, it's worn, it's shabby, and it's almost broken, but it's brimming over with love of Allah. Allah says, if you can pass through this purification stage, you're the ones who benefit. Then as for the foam, it passes away as scum upon the banks. There will come a time when people will stop taunting you. There will come a time when people will stop saying, why are you doing this? Why are you wasting your time? They'll get tired of it. We have to remain steadfast. As the Prophet ﷺ told a man who came and said, tell me one thing that I have to do. And he said, قُلْ آمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقِمْ Just say, I believe in Allah, then stand firm. Don't let anyone or anything shake you from your determination. Allah says, the foam will pass away as come upon the banks. Do we remember the names of all the enemies of the Prophet ﷺ? We remember the names of a couple, Abu Jahl, Abu Lahab, and that's about it. The foam passes away as come upon the banks. وَأَمَّا مَا يَنْفَعُ النَّاسِ That which benefits mankind, فَيَمْكُسُ فِي الْأَرْضِ It remains in the earth. Allah is telling us to be like that fertile land, to absorb the words of Allah, to eagerly imbibe each word that we read. Now, a superficial reading of the Quran is not enough. We need in-depth study. We need in-depth reflection. Allah asks us, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ عَمَلَا قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا Do they not contemplate the Quran? It's not enough just to listen to the Quran or just to read the Quran. Do they not contemplate the Quran or are their hearts sealed? Thus does Allah set forth parables. Now we can think for ourselves, which portion of land do we want to resemble? The fertile portion, benefiting itself and others, or the barren portion, disinterested, not caring? كَذَلِكَ يَضْرِبُ اللَّهُ الْأَمْثَالِ Thus Allah sets forth parables. لِلَّذِينَ اسْتَجَابُوا لِرَبِّهِمُ الْحُسْنَى For those who answered their Lord's call is beauty, is goodness. Look at the link between the ayat. Allah gives us the example that this rain, this Quran has come to all of us. We're all absorbing according to our different capacities. Now Allah tells us for those who answered their Lord's call, not those who kept the Quran in their houses and read it once every Ramzan and thought that was it. For those who answered their Lord's call. What did the Prophet ﷺ say about the Quran? Al-Quran ma'dubatullah. This Quran is Allah's banquet. And what is Ma'duba? That banquet held by a king in which he invites those worthy of the feast to attend it. Now this feast is being held by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How many of us have appreciated his invitation? How many of us even thank Allah for this chance to read the Quran, for this chance to learn what's in the Quran? Allah has told us, "Huwa khayrun mimma yajma'un." This Quran is better than all that they collect. Is that how we value it, or like a duty? Yes, I want to read the Quran once so that at least I know what's in it, and after that then, you know, maybe some years later I can do something about studying it further. Huwa khayrun mimma yajma'un. If we were to learn that a treasure is being distributed, people hear that free injections are being given and they land up there with 10 children. Huwa khayrun mimma yajma'un. This treasure is being distributed, but how many of us care? In this world, if we hear that a best friend of ours has had a party and not invited us to it, how do we feel? Offended, hurt, upset. Even if we didn't want to go to that party, we still feel annoyed. Why didn't he invite me? Allah says, لِلَّذِينَ اسْتَجَابُوا لِرَبِّهِمُ الْحُسْنَى. Those who responded to that invitation, those who attended that banquet, those who partook of the food served in the banquet, for them is beauty. But those who did not answer his call, if they had all that is in the earth, together with its like, they would offer it in order to save themselves. Those who say, oh no, the Quran is too frightening. I know what's in the Quran, I've read it before, I'm not interested. I'm too busy. For those who do not answer his call, for them, if they had all that is in the earth, together with its like, they would offer it in order to save themselves. Now this is very interesting. What keeps people away from the Quran? Fear of losing the world. But here is Allah telling us that if you stay away from the Quran, on the Day of Judgment, you would offer all that you had of the world, together with its like, to save yourself. For them there will be the terrible reckoning. Their dwelling place will be hell, and worst indeed is that place for rest. أَفَمَنْ يَعْلَمُ أَنَّمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ مِنْ رَبِّكَ الْحَقُّ كَمَنْ هُوَ أَعْمَى. Shall then he who knows what has been revealed to you from your Lord is the truth be like him who is blind? See, we people think that, oh, we've all said La ilaha illallah, so we'll all go to Jannah, and the Prophet will intercede for all of us, and Allah is Ghafoor Rahim. Look at the comparison Allah is giving. Allah is not talking about Muslim or Kafir here. Allah is talking about one who studied the Quran. One who knows what's in the Quran is the truth. Can he be like the one who is blind, spiritually blind, not interested in knowing what's in the Quran, never bothered to study it, just read it once and thought that was enough? إِنَّمَا يَتَذَكَّرُوا أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. It is only the men of understanding that pay heed. How do we answer Allah's call? We're all here today at Allah's invitation, is this it? Is this enough? We can go home feeling we've done our duty? الَّذِينَ آتَيْنَاهُمُ الْكِتَابِ يَتْلُونَهُ حَقَّ تِلَاوَتِهِ. Those to whom we have given this Quran, recite it as is its right of recitation. What is the right of recitation of the Quran? That we read it in Arabic. That we read it with the translation, with understanding. That we contemplate it. That we act upon it. And then we convey it to others. Are we doing all these things? If we are, then we have truly responded to Malikul Muluk's invitation. But if we're not, we've just read it once in Arabic, or we've read the translation and we think that's enough, then we've not answered his invitation. It is only the men of depth, people of understanding, that pay heed. Now Allah says that pay heed. In other words, they do something about it. They don't just say astaghfar and think that's it. No, they get up, start studying the Quran. They start learning the Quran. Who are these people? الَّذِينَ يُوفُونَ بِعْدِ اللَّهِ. Those who fulfill the covenant of Allah. What covenant is this? La ilaha illallah. We've also taken it, haven't we? Do we fulfill it? We think our job is done just by saying La ilaha illallah 100 times a day. Those who fulfill the covenant of Allah and break not the bond. In other words, they obey Allah above all. They seek Allah above all. They fear Allah above all. وَالَّذِينَ يَفِلُونَ مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ أَن يُوصَلْ. Those who join that which Allah has commanded to be joined. Right after حُقُوقُ اللَّهِ, Allah mentions حُقُوقُ الْعِبَادِ. The rights of people upon us. Islam doesn't simply say pray all day and do what you like to your relatives. No, those who join that which Allah has commanded to be joined. We're all familiar with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's definition of sila rahmi, when he said, the gist of which was, true sila rahmi is not that you're good to the relative who's good to you. True sila rahmi is that you're good to the relative who's bad to you. Those who join that which Allah has commanded to be joined, وَيَخْشَوْنَ رَبَّهُمْ, they fear their Lord. This word يَخْشَوْنَ is so beautiful. It isn't just fear, where you think of Allah as this harsh God who might punish you. No, that's not يَخْشَوْنَ. يَخْشَوْنَ is reverent awe, where you stand before Allah and your heart is trembling with fear. Where you stand before Allah and you're full of deference, you're full of respect, you're full of reverence, knowing you're standing before the King of all kings. يَخْشَوْنَ رَبَّهُمْ, they reverently fear their Lord. وَيَخَافُونَ سُوءَ الْحِسَابِ, they fear the terrible reckoning. Why are they afraid of the hisab? These people are obeying Allah and fulfilling people's rights. This is the moment that he still prays for hidayat. He still says, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. He doesn't complacently assume that, well, I'm doing so much, and I'm teaching the Quran, and I'm fulfilling my parents' rights, so Allah's bound to forgive me. Like we hear people say, you know, there's only one thing in which I disobey Allah, and otherwise I'm a really good person, and my heart is really pure. That's not a moment. يَخَافُونَ سُوءَ الْحِسَابِ, they are still afraid. They are still afraid of the Day of Judgment. Because complacency is the first step towards arrogance. What got Shaitan when he said, I am better than Adam? So what got Shaitan was his arrogance. أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِنُ, I am better than he. I worship you for much longer than this. You created me from fire and him from clay. يَخَافُونَ سُوءَ الْحِسَابِ, they fear the terrible reckoning. See, Allah presents different aspects of the mu'min's personality. Elsewhere we learned, يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَهُ, Allah described the personality of a mu'min, that Allah loves them and they love Allah. They spend their life in jihad, فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, in the path of Allah. وَلَا يَخَافُونَ لَوْمَةَ لَائِمٍ, they do not fear the blame of anyone who blames. With people they are fearless, no compromise, no apologies, but with Allah, يَخَافُونَ سُوءَ الْحِسَابِ, they fear the terrible reckoning. وَالَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا, and those who do sabr. After reading Surah Yusuf, we realize the dimensions of sabr. What are the dimensions of sabr? To be constant in doing good deeds, to be constant in abstaining from evil, and to be patient at times of distress. Not that they pray and say, well, I've seen what good my prayers did me, I'm not going to pray anymore. No, وَالَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا, in good times and in bad times, in wealth and in adversity, in health and in sickness, those who remain patient. اِبْتِغَاءَ وَجْهِ رَبِّهِمْ, what gives them the courage to do all this? What gives them the strength? Because they are seeking the being of their Lord. See, Allah says, رَبِّهِمْ, because they have identified themselves as being Allah's slaves, Allah loves them too. Allah doesn't say seeking the being of Allah. Allah says seeking the being of their Lord, of their Creator. وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ, and they establish salah. People who say, well, you know what, my social work is really important and since I'm a doctor, I don't have time to pray. But Allah knows that this is more important. أَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ, they establish salah. Not that they read it when they have the time, or they read it when they remember, or when they've got nothing else to do. أَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ, they establish salah. Salah is an integral part of their lives. وَأَنفَقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ سِرًّا وَعَلَانِيَةً, they spend from that which we have provided them. Now we have such a limited concept of sadqah, that if I sacrifice a goat, that's a sadqah. Sadqah is everything we give someone voluntarily, whether a smile, whether a word of good advice, whether a kind word of forgiveness, whether money, whether knowledge, whether talent, whether time. They spend of the blessings Allah has given them. They're not selfish. They're not egotistical, wanting it all for themselves. أَنفَقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ, they don't give everything away. Allah doesn't say give all your money away. No, they are balanced, they are moderate. They share some of the blessings Allah has given them. سِرًّا وَعَلَانِيَةً, secretly and openly. They're not doing it for people's sake. They do it when no one's there, and they'll do it before people as well. There are some sadaqat such as zakat that even if we give before people, it's a good thing. So people are reminded of their own responsibilities as well. But of course, we have to remember that the advantages of secret sadaqah, as the Prophet ﷺ said, that one of the people who will be in Allah's shade on the day when there is no shade is the man or woman who spends so generously, but he doesn't let his left hand know what his right hand is doing. In other words, he spends all the time secretly without letting anyone know, lest his niyyah be adulterated. وَيَدْرَؤُونَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ السَّيِّئَةِ They ward off evil with good. What does this mean, to ward off evil with good? See, sometimes we could be doing all of this, but when someone does wrong to us, woe betide that person. That's when we're not going to take it anymore. The Prophet ﷺ once said, the gist of which was, do not let people's conduct be your yardstick. It is wrong to say that if people do good, we'll do good. That's what we say too, isn't it? That if someone is good to me, then I'll be good to them. But if they're mean to me, then I'll show them who I am. No, if people do injustice to you, then do not do injustice to them. Make yourself follow one principle. If people are good to you, be good. And if people are cruel to you, do not do injustice to them. And this was the Prophet ﷺ's own conduct. He didn't just preach something and not practice it. We read yesterday how when he entered Makkah and two of his bitterest enemies came up to him, what did he tell them? La tasriba alaykum al-yawm. There is no reproach on you this day. Yaghfirullahu lakum. May Allah forgive you. And only someone of an exalted standard of behavior can pray for his enemy. Sometimes we can forgive our enemy, but it's very difficult to pray for them. Yaghfirullahu lakum. May Allah forgive you. Wa huwa arhamur rahimin. He is the most merciful of those who show mercy. أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ عُقْبَ الدَّارِ For such people there is a beautiful end. We all want Jannah. We should read this ayat, highlight it, and analyze each and every feature that Allah has presented before us. Do I do this or not? جَنَّةُ عَدْنٍ For them is paradise, everlasting. يَدْخُلُونَهَا They will enter it. وَمَنْ صَلَحَ مِنْ آبَائِهِمْ Those who acted righteously from among their fathers and their mates and their children. Now even a mu'min who's been doing all these good things, even he cannot take along a sinner with him into Jannah. Like, you know, some people generally joke and say, oh, my father was really good, so I'll just cling to him and he can take me in Jannah. Allah says, Man salaha, every man for himself. وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ يَدْخُلُونَ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنْ كُلِّ بَابٍ Salamun alaykum bima sabartum. And angels shall enter upon them from every door, saying, peace be on you, for you persevered in patience. Sabr, that's the name of the game. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once said, khayrul umuri adwamuhu wa in qalla. The best deed is that which is most constant, even if it is a little. Even if we're reading 3 verses of the Quran daily, in tartib, in sequence, that's better than we read 10 siparas every Ramzan and don't touch the Quran for the rest of the year. Allah says, and how beautiful indeed is the final home. وَالَّذِينَ يَنْقُضُونَ عَهْدَ اللَّهِ Now after presenting one scenario, Allah shows us another person. Those who break the covenant of Allah after its ratification, who break that which Allah has commanded to be joined. We find generally that people who do not fulfill Allah's rights, very rarely fulfill people's rights. And even if they do fulfill people's rights, it's generally for an ulterior motive. Allah says, those who break the covenant of Allah, after its ratification, we've all said, when Allah asked us, أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ Am I not your Lord? We all said, Bala, indeed. Now those of us who break this, now how do we break the covenant of Allah? There are people who say, I don't believe in it. And there are people who don't say anything but don't act upon it. This was the satanic kufr. Shaitan did not say, I don't believe in Allah. He said, I'm not going to obey Allah because it doesn't make sense to me. So when people say, oh, salat doesn't make sense to me, or giving up interest doesn't make sense to me, then they are committing the satanic kufr. Those who break the covenant of Allah after its ratification and break that which Allah has commanded to be joined. People who break off relationships. Oh, she was so cruel to me and she didn't invite me to her son's wedding. I'm not going to talk to her again. وَيُفْسِدُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ Those who spread mischief in the land, corruption in the land. أولئك لهم اللعنة. For them is the curse. What curse is this? Being deprived of Allah's mercy. And for them is the evil home. Allah يَبْسُطُ الرِّزْقَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَقْدِرُ. Allah increases the provision for whom He wills and straightens. Now what is the link between the ayat? One minute Allah speaking of someone who is breaking Allah's pact, and the next minute Allah is talking about risk being in His hands. What is it that keeps us away from Allah? Fear of losing out on the world. If I obey Allah, if I start hijab, my friends won't meet me anymore. If I give up interest, I won't be able to go abroad every year. If I give up haram, then I won't have so much fun anymore. Allah reminds us, Allah increases the provision for whom He wills and straightens. And that's why we find sometimes people spend their entire life struggling for this world and their business never prospers. And you wonder to yourself, it's not fair. Why isn't he doing well? Why aren't they prospering when they struggle so much? Educated students return from abroad and they can't find a job in Pakistan. Allahu yabsutu rizqa liman yasha. This is because risk is in Allah's hands. And they rejoice in the life of this world. Farihu bil hayat ad-dunya. Allah says it incredulously. They rejoice in the life of this world. Whereas the life of this world is compared with the hereafter is but a brief passing enjoyment. Such superficial vision. Allah tells us in a hadith, the gist of which is that I have prepared a Jannah for my believers, the like of which no eye has ever seen, no ear has ever heard, and no heart has ever imagined. Those are the delights that we can gain for ourselves. Right now, the choice is ours. But Allah says, are you content to be in this world? You're so engrossed in your children and your committees and your lunches and your careers and your jobs that the hereafter is not even something to think about. That I've read my salat for the day and that's it. Oh, what more can Allah expect from me after all? Is that what we want? Allah says, the life of this world as compared with the hereafter is but a brief, passing enjoyment. وَيَقُولُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَوْلَا أُنزِلَ عَلَيْهِ آيَةٌ مِّن رَبِّهِ. Those who disbelieved say, why is not a sign sent down to him from his Lord? People who don't want to obey will always find excuses. Well, you know, if the Quran were to move me and I don't feel ready for Salat, and the day that I feel ready for Salat, then I'll start praying. Otherwise, I feel like a hypocrite. Those who disbelieve say, why is not a sign sent down to him from his Lord? قُلْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُضِلُّ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَهْدِي إِلَيْهِ مَنْ أَنَابَ. Tell them, indeed Allah sends astray whom He wills and guides to Himself those who turn to Him. People who say, if Allah wished, I would feel like praying. If Allah wished, I would feel like reading the Quran. Guidance is in Allah's hands. When Allah wants to guide me, He'll guide me Himself. Highlight these words. يَهْدِي إِلَيْهِ مَنْ أَنَابَ. Allah guides towards Himself the one who seeks Him. It is beneath Allah's dignity to do otherwise. Allah tells us in a hadith Qudsi, when my slave draws near me by a hand's span, I come near to him by an arm's length. When my slave walks towards me, I go towards him running. But we have to take the first step. Alladhina amanu. Who are those who seek Allah? Those who have iman. Well, we have iman too, don't we? We're also Muslims. We've also said La ilaha illallah. But there's a further criteria being defined. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَتَطْمَئِنُّ قُلُوبُهُمْ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Their hearts find peace in the remembrance of Allah. أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبُ. Know that it is in Allah's remembrance that hearts find peace. In other words, it's not enough just to say, well, I have iman and Allah knows how much I love him. The true criteria is whether we find peace in Allah's remembrance or not. Now, what is Allah's remembrance? People say, oh, Allah knows how much I love him. That's not enough. The criteria is whether we find our heart's contentment, our heart's delight in this zikr. See, there are different aspects of zikr. One aspect of zikr is tasbih. When we are glorifying Allah. Now how do we glorify Allah? Subhanallah, subhanallah, subhanallah. And we're not even thinking about it. What did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam teach us? At-tuhuru shatrul iman. Purity is half of iman. Walhamdulillahi tamla'ul mizan. Alhamdulillahi fills the balance. It fills the weights. When we say it with love, when we say it with sincerity, the reward for that fills the balance. وسبحان الله والحمد لله تملأني أو تملأ ما بين السماء والأرض. سبحان الله and الحمد لله fill up all that is between the heavens and the earth. That's one aspect of zikr. Then there's another aspect of zikr. When we talk to Allah in our heart, when we have conversations with Him, what did Yaqub alayhi salam say? إِنَّمَا أَشْكُو بَثِي وَحُزْنِي لَلَّهِ. I'm pouring out my pain, my grief before Allah. Remember the hadith about the 7 different people who will be under Allah's shade on the day where there is no shade? One of them will be a person who remembered Allah alone and his eyes brimmed over with tears. Not that we're showing people how much we cry when we hear Allah's names. No, he's remembering Allah in solitude. There's no one there. And his eyes brim over with tears for love of Allah, for fear of Allah. That's another kind of zikr. There's a third kind of zikr when we speak of Allah aloud. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us that I am according to my slave's concept of me and I am with him when he remembers me. When he remembers me in his heart, I remember him in my heart. And when he remembers me aloud, I remember him aloud in a company better than his. We find in this beautiful hadith, إِنَّ لِلَّهِ تَعَالَى مَلَائِكَتَي يَطُوفُونَ فِي الطُّرُقِ. Indeed Allah has teams of angels who go about on the roads, يَلْتَمِسُونَ أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ, seeking those who remember Allah. فَإِذَا وَجَدُوا قَوْمًا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. When they find some people remembering Allah, whether by reading this Quran, or by reading the Sunnah, or by just simply glorifying Allah aloud, تَنَادَوْا, they call to one another and say, come to what you are looking for, and they surround them with their wings, till the space between them and the lower sky is fully covered. And in another hadith we find, and peace descends upon the people. And that explains that extraordinary feeling of serenity you sometimes get when you're listening to the Quran. Then Allah asks them, although He is best informed about everything, مَا يَقُولُ عِبَادِي, what are my slaves saying? And Allah asks so He can have the joy of listening to their reply. قَالَ يَقُولُونَ يُسَبِّحُونَكَ وَيُكَبِّرُونَكَ وَيَحْمَدُونَكَ وَيُمَجِّدُونَكَ. The angels reply, they are glorifying you, they are praising you, they are remembering your greatness. فَيَقُولُ هَلْ رَأَوْنِي, Allah will ask, have they seen me? قَالُوا, they will say, لَا وَاللَّهِ مَا رَأَوْكَ, no indeed they have not seen you. Then Allah asks, كَيْفَ لَوْ رَأَوْنِي, how would they be if they had seen me? فَيَقُولُونَ لَوْ رَأَوْكَ كَانُوا أَشَدَّ لَكَ عِبَادًا وَأَشَدَّ لَكَ تَمْجِيدًا وَأَكْثَرَ لَكَ تَسْبِيحًا. They will reply, if they were to see you, they would engage more earnestly in worshipping and glorifying you, and they would praise you even more. Then Allah will say, what do they ask of me? The angels say, they ask you for paradise. Allah says, have they seen my paradise? The angels say, no, our Lord. Allah says, how would they act if they were to see my paradise? يَقُولُونَ لَوْ أَنَّهُمْ رَأَوْهَا كَانُوا أَشَدَّ عَلَيْهَا حِسَّةً وَأَشَدَّ لَهَا طَلَبًا وَأَعْزَمَ فِيهَا رَغْبًا. The angels reply, were they to see it, they would be even more intense for it. They would be even more eager in seeking it. They would yearn for it even more. The angels say, they seek your protection. Allah asks, against what do they seek my protection? The angels say, from the fire of hell. Allah says, have they seen the fire of hell? They say, no, by your honor, they have not seen it. Allah says, how would they act if they were to see my fire? The angels say, if they were to see it, they would be more intense in being away from it. وَأَشَدَّ لَهَا مَخَافًا. They would be more intense in their fear. And then the angels say, they beg of your forgiveness. And Allah says, فَأُشْهِدُكُمْ أَنِّي قَدْ غَفَرْتُ لَهُمْ. Allah says, I call you to witness that I hereby forgive them and confer upon them what they ask for and grant them protection against what they seek protection from. One of the angels says, O our Lord, there is amongst them such and such slave who does not belong to the assembly of those who are remembering you. He passed by them and sat down with them. A person who was just passing by a Quranic gathering and sat down with them. And Allah says, I forgive this person as well because these are the people whose companions will never be unfortunate. This is the glory of remembering Allah, especially in a company. On another occasion, the Prophet ﷺ said, when a group of people assemble for the remembrance of Allah, the angels surround them with their wings. Allah's mercy envelops them, and tranquility descends upon them, and Allah mentions them before those who are with Him. Alladheena amanu, iman is not enough. وَتَطْمَئِنُّ قُلُوبُهُمْ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Now we've all attended Quranic gatherings, but sometimes we should analyze ourselves that when we are listening to the Quran, when we are listening to Allah, how do we feel? Do we feel at peace? Do we feel joyous? Or do we feel bored? Or do we wish that we were at home sleeping right now? تَطْمَئِنُّ قُلُوبُهُمْ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Their hearts find peace in the remembrance of Allah. أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ قُلُوبُ. And indeed, hearts only find peace in the remembrance of Allah, the one relationship in which we can find peace and strength constantly. Now we find that there is another aspect of zikr, and that aspect is salat. As Allah says in the Quran, أقم الصلاة لذكري, establish salat for my remembrance. Now I'd like to read out this experience that this convert had when he read his first salat. On the day I converted to Islam, the Imam of the Masjid gave me a manual on how to perform Salah. Take it easy, the Muslim students urged me. Don't push yourself too hard. It's better to take your time. I was surprised by their concern. How hard could it be to pray, I wondered. That night, I decided to start performing the 5 prayers at their appointed times. I sat for a long time on my couch, studying and rehearsing the prayer postures. Much of what I was saying would be in Arabic, so I had to memorize the Arabic transliterations. I pored over the manual a couple of hours before I felt confident enough to attempt my first prayer. It was close to midnight, so I decided to perform the Isha prayer. I walked into the bathroom and placed the manual on the sink counter, with it open to the section describing how to perform wuzu. Like trying a recipe for the first time, I followed the instructions step by step, slowly. When I finished washing, I shut off the tap and returned to the living room. Standing in the center of the room, I aimed myself in the direction of Makkah. I glanced back over my shoulder to make sure I had locked the door to my apartment. Finding that it was, I then looked straight ahead, straightened my stance, took a deep breath, raised my hands to the sides of my face, and then in a hushed voice I pronounced, Allahu Akbar. I hope no one heard me. I felt a little bit anxious. I couldn't rid of myself of the feeling that someone might be spying on me. Then I suddenly realized that I had left open the curtains of the living room window. What if a neighbor should look in and see me, I thought. I stopped what I was doing and went to the window. I glanced around outside to make sure no one was there. To my relief, the backyard was empty. Carefully, I pulled the curtains closed and returned to the middle of the room. Once again, I stood and whispered, Allahu Akbar. In a barely audible tone, I clumsily recited the first surah of the Quran and another short surah in Arabic. I then quietly said another Allahu Akbar and bowed. I had never bowed to anyone before and I felt embarrassed. I was glad that I was alone. While still in the bowing position, I repeated several times the phrase, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. Then I stood up and recited, Sami Allahu liman hamida, Rabbana wa lakal hamd. I felt my heart pounding and anxiety mounting as I meekly called out another Allahu Akbar. I had arrived at the moment where I had to perform a sajda. Petrified, I stared at the area of the floor in front of me. I couldn't do it. I could not get myself to lower myself to the floor, to humble myself with my nose to the ground. It was as if my legs had braces on them that would not let me bend. I felt too ashamed and humiliated. I could imagine the snickers of friends watching me make a fool of myself. Poor Jeff, I could hear them saying, he really went out of crazy in San Francisco, didn't he? Please, please help me do this, I prayed. I took a deep breath and then forced myself to the floor. Now on my hands and knees, I hesitated for a brief moment and then I pushed my face to the carpet. Ridding my mind of all other thoughts, I mechanically pronounced 3 times, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. I had to wrestle with my emotions and pride the rest of the prayer, but it got easier with each cycle. I was almost calm during the last prostration. While in the final sitting posture, I ended the prayer and turned my head to the right and then again to the left. Spent, I remained on the floor and reviewed the battle I had just been through. I felt embarrassed that I had had to struggle so hard to get through the prayer. With my head lowered in shame, I prayed, Please forgive me my arrogance and stupidity. I have come from very far and I have so very far to go. At that moment, I experienced something I had never felt before. A wave of what I can only describe as coldness swept through me, which seemed to radiate from some point within my chest. It was rather intense. Initially, I remember shuddering. However, it was much more than a physical sensation, for it affected my emotions as well. It was as if mercy had taken on an objective form and was now penetrating me. I cannot say why, but I began to cry. Tears began to run down my face, and I found myself weeping uncontrollably. The harder I cried, the more I felt the embrace of a powerful kindness and compassion. I was not crying out of guilt or shame or joy. It was as if a dam had been unblocked, and a great reservoir of fear and anger within me was being released. I remained on my knees, crouched to the floor with my head in my hands, sobbing for some time. When I finally stopped crying, I was exhausted. The experience I had just had was for me too overwhelming to try and rationalize at that moment. I did realize this much, however. I needed God and prayer desperately. Before getting up from my knees, I made a last dua. Oh Allah, if I ever gravitate towards disbelief again, then please kill me first. Rid me of this life. It is hard enough living with my imperfections and weaknesses, but I cannot live another day denying you. Ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. Only in Allah's remembrance do hearts find peace. Alladhina amanu. Those who have iman. Wa amilu salihat. And do good deeds. Iman in itself is not enough. We need good deeds. Tuba lahum. For them is happiness. Wa husnu ma'ab. And a beautiful place of return. We find that when Hazrat Khadija died, radiallahu anha, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked about her, he said, the gist of which was that I saw her in a house made of pearls, near a stream, wherein is no noise and no fatigue. That is beauty. That is the beautiful place of return. Thus have we sent you to a community before whom other communities have passed away, in order that you might recite to them what we have revealed to you, while they disbelieve in the most gracious. Say, Huwa Rabbi, La ilaha illa hu, alayhi tawakkaltu, wa ilayhi matab. He is my Lord, none has the right to be worshipped but He. Worship means obedience. Iyaka na'budu, wa iyaka nasta'een. Alayhi tawakkaltu, in Him is my trust, wa ilayhi matab. And to Him will be my return with repentance. وَلَوْ أَنَّ قُرْآنًا سُيِّرَتْ بِهِ الْجِبَالُ أَوْ قُطِّعَتْ بِهِ الْأَرْضُ أَوْ كُلِّمَ بِهِ الْمَوْتَى بَلْ لِلَّهِ الْأَمْرُ جَمِيعًا. And if there had been a Qur'an with which mountains could be moved from their places, or the earth could be cloven asunder, or the dead could be made to speak. In other words, when people make excuses and instead of taking the Qur'an, they want these kind of miracles, Allah tells us, بَلْ لِلَّهِ الْأَمْرُ جَمِيعًا. The decision of all things certainly is with Allah. In fact, according to a recent discovery, the Quran is actually contained within our DNA. This is a recent discovery made by Muslim scientists, and up till now he's discovered 10 siparas of the Quran within our DNA. Have not those then who believe yet know that had Allah willed, He could have guided all mankind. And a disaster will not cease to strike those who disbelieve because of their evil deeds. Or it settles close to their homes until the promise of Allah comes to pass. Indeed, Allah does not break His promise. The truth of the matter is, people who don't want to obey Allah will always find excuses. وَلَقَدِ اسْتُهْزِئَ بِرُسُلٍ مِّن قَبْلِكَ. Allah reassures the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Indeed, many messengers were mocked before you, but I granted respite to those who disbelieved, and finally I punished them. فَكَيْفَ كَانَ عِقَابٌ. Then how terrible was my punishment. And we read Surah Hud yesterday. Is then Allah, who takes charge of every person and knows all that he has earned, like any other deities who know nothing? Yet they ascribe partners to Allah. Qul sammuhum, say, name them. Is it that you will inform him of something he knows not in the earth? Or is it just a show of false words? Nay, to those who disbelieve, their plotting is made beautiful. And they have been hindered from the right path. And whom Allah sends astray, فَمَا لَهُ مِنْ هَادٍ. For him there is no guide. For them there is a torment in the life of this world, and certainly harder is the torment of the hereafter, and they have no defender against Allah. We need to understand that Allah has said that those people who claim supernatural powers, who claim knowledge of the unseen, are actually not just committing shirk, but Allah exposes them and says that they are plotting. In other words, that generally when people claim that they have, you know, knowledge of astrology, or that they can tell your future or read your palm, what is the reason that they're doing it? To help mankind? No, because they want money from you. They want you to be so dependent upon them that you can't take a step without consulting them, without rewarding them. Allah exposes such people. We read in the account of the prophets that what were all the prophets saying? I do not ask of you any reward for it. That is the difference between a true prophet and an imposter. The imposter always wants something, whether it's praise, whether it's money, whether it's people to be dependent on him, whether it's adulation or admiration, or that people, you know, are coming to him for predictions, and the prophet wants nothing. In ajriya illa ala Allah. What do all the prophets repeatedly say? My reward only belongs to Allah. Allah says, whom Allah sends astray, for him there is no guide. Now I mentioned earlier as well that these days there's an Islamic chain letter which is circulating on the net. And in that chain letter they claim that it's about a dream that the watchman of the Prophet's mosque saw. And they say at the end of the letter that if you don't make 20 copies of this letter, then one man didn't and he died in 9 days. And that's shirk. And that's shirk in the name of Islam. Because someone actually presented Al-Huda with 20 copies. And they must have thought that, you know, let me save myself from certain death. Allah says, whom Allah sends astray, for him there is no guide. Allah is warning us, whether shirk is conducted in the name of Islam or in the name of kufr, it's a plot. And it's a plot devised by shaitan to take mankind away from Allah, to bring him out of light into darknesses. And for such people is a torment in this world, and certainly the hereafter's torment is even greater. And they have no defender against Allah. مَثَلُ الْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي وُعِدَ الْمُتَّقُونَ The description of the paradise which the Allah conscious have been promised. Underneath it, rivers flow. Its provision is eternal, and so is its shade. This is the end of the Allah conscious. And the end of the disbelievers is the fire. Now the choice is ours. What do we want, Jannah or Jahannam? Those to whom we have given the book, rejoice at what has been revealed to you. But there are among the confederates those who reject a part thereof. Say, I am commanded only to worship Allah alone and not to join partners with him. إِلَيْهِ أَدْعُوا وَإِلَيْهِ مَآب To him alone I call and to him is my return. وَكَذَلِكَ أَنزَلْنَاهُ حُكْمًا عَرَبِيًّا Thus have we sent this Qur'an as a judgment of authority in Arabic. And if you were to follow their desires after the knowledge which has come to you, then you would not have any protector or defender against Allah. Who is being addressed here? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What is he being told? That after this Quran has been given to you, then if you turn away and follow people's desires. Now Allah has not said whether these desires are the desires of your family or your friends or your spouses. Allah says, were you to follow their desires? In other words, when we start following our whims, our own likes and dislikes, rather than the knowledge which has come to us, then we will have none to save us from Allah. We need to understand that the Prophet ﷺ was being addressed so that his ummah could take heed. Not because na'uzubillah he was going to start following people's desires. The message is for us through the Prophet ﷺ. وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا رُسُولًا مِّن قَبْلِكَ Indeed, we sent many messengers before you. And we made for them wives and offspring. People were always objecting, well, why did the Prophet ﷺ have so many wives? We find Muslims nowadays as well who laugh at the fact that he had so many wives. Na'uzubillah. Allah says, we sent messengers before you. They too had wives and offspring. See, the message is clear that prophets too are human beings. They're not gods that we should start worshipping. And we find this concept still exists today. People want religious people to renounce the world completely. That if someone is religious, they shouldn't wear good clothes or they shouldn't live in a grand house. They should give everything up for Allah's sake. Allah says, this is an unnatural state of affairs. They're human beings. They had human needs as well. They lived normal, balanced lives. And that's how they could become an example for us. Otherwise, if the Prophet ﷺ had lived a life of chastity, you know, not taking a wife and giving up food altogether, it would have been very difficult for us to follow him. The majority of people couldn't have followed him. Allah tells us, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا There is for you a beautiful example in the Prophet ﷺ. And the reason for that is because he lived a normal life. And it was not for a messenger to bring a sign except by Allah's leave. For every matter there is a decree from Allah. يَمْحُ اللَّهُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيُثْبِتُ Allah blots out what He wills and confirms what He wills. And with Him is the mother of the book. And this is Lawhi Mahfuz. Whether we show you part of what we have promised them or cause you to die, Your duty is only to convey the message, وَعَلَيْنَا الْحِسَابِ, and on us is the reckoning. Again and again Allah reminds us, it's not for us to pass judgments, it's not for us to assume, oh, she's not even going to listen to me, so why should I even try? We have to convey the message, and then Allah will take the hisab from people. Do they not see that we reduce the land from its outlying borders? And Allah judges, there is none to put back His judgment. وَهُوَ سَرِيعُ الْحِسَابِ, and He is swift at reckoning, and indeed those before them devised plots. But all planning belongs to Allah. He knows what every person earns, and the disbelievers will know who gets the beautiful end. And those who disbelieve say, you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are not a messenger. قُلْ كَفَى بِاللَّهِ شَهِيدًا بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَكُمْ وَمَنْ عِنْدَهُ عِلْمُ الْكِتَابِ. Say, sufficient as a witness between me and you is Allah, and those two who have knowledge of the book.